to you and to your will, that we would bow before you and worship and glorify your name this morning, God. Thank you for this opportunity to give you thanks and praise. This we pray in your name, Father God. Amen. Let's stand together and worship. A mighty fortress is our God, number 151.
Yeah.
Receive the greeting of the Lord. People of God, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you extend a hand of greeting to those around you as well this morning? I like the title of this next song we're about to sing, In Times Like These. I think it connects to a very real experience that many of us feel at one time or another. We go through storms of life, we hit rock bottom, we recognize our need for God, and we say in our hearts, you know, in times like these. But the truth of the matter is that we can sing this song during any season of our lives, right? It's not just in the times we need it, because quite honestly, we always need it. And so let's come together and lean upon God now as we sing this song. In times like these, remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
prayer of confession, of course, confesses our sin, our need for God's grace. But I think a lot of times this confession is, in general, just a sense of leaning, of needing God to provide what only God can provide for us, and just recognizing in our minds that we need that, and we're leaning upon what God can give us. And so we come before God routinely to do that, to lean upon Him. And so let's come before the Lord in a time of prayer, and then we'll wrap up the prayer with the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Gracious, loving God, we need You. We need You, Lord. Oh, how we need You. Every hour we need You. We need Your saving power by the blood of Jesus to redeem us and to cleanse us in Your sight. For God, You know our hands are covered in blood. Our hearts are filled with shame and guilt for the things that we've done, the things that we've left undone. Forgive us, Father, by Your mercy and Your grace. We need your sustenance, Holy Spirit, your uplifting, reviving hand. Our souls are thirsty for the life that only You can provide for us. And so today we need You to meet us here to revive our souls within us, to breathe life into us anew. We need Your word, Father, to teach us and to guide us into the truth. We don't know what's best for us, but You know exactly what we need, and You desire to give it to us. So thank You, Lord, for Your word. And we even depend upon You, God, to teach us to pray. And so we join our voices together with the words that You taught us, Jesus, saying, Our Father. As a statement of faith, I want to invite you to read responsibly Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 27 and 28. It's in the order of worship. I think we also have it up on the screens. I'll read the question if you read the answer. Number 27 says, what do you understand by the providence of God? The almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds as with His hand heaven and earth, and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that nothing in creation will separate us from His love, for all creatures are so completely in God's hand that without His will they can neither move nor be moved. I invite you just to look again at that last answer we just read at the beginning there. It says we can be patient when things go against us. We can be thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing in creation will separate us from His love. There's just that be very sure, that sureness that we sang of, right? That because of all of this, we can really trust. We can really trust. And so in the few moments, we're going to be hearing this line from Psalm 46, where it says, Be still and know that I am God. See, we can really be sure in this because of the way God provides for us. And then as we read in the earlier question, that nothing, all things in fact, come not by chance but by his fatherly hand, that he holds it all in his hands and he wants to give good things to us. So we're going to sing together and confess together of God and his providential, loving care for all of his creation. Let's stand together and sing number 586. He's got the whole world in his hands. I think I got this one on. I'm on this one, Dan. I think I ran out of battery. I want to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, this is page 885. You know, I was putting together this series called You're Invited, and quite honestly, this is kind of a break from that, an invitation to say that God invites us to be still and know that he is God isn't really quite very truthful, because this is a pretty, I kind of see this as a command. God says, be still, know that I am God. But this is something that came along in the study as I was putting things together and just felt like this was something we needed to hear. So I wanted to share it with you. So this is Psalm 46. Before we read, let's bow for a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the treasure that it is. We pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive what it is that you want to speak to us here and now. Lord, we pray that you'd quiet our minds, our hearts within us, so that we might listen and that we might follow and walk in your ways, Jesus, to the delight of your will, your goodness, your intention for each of us, Lord, for your glory and your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Boy, I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a stretch for me to stay right here. This is going to be a challenge. I usually like to move around. I'll do my best. Sure. Why don't you bring that up? There's this refrain throughout this psalm that I'd like to invite you to say with me. We've read it a couple times. It says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Would you say that with me? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Yeah, we're going to have to learn that again. And I'm really challenging here, Missy. Would you go to the next slide? Because then they'll even have it. And now you might have me on this mic. You got me? There we go. All right, you see it up there? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. One more time together. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It says the Lord Almighty. Other translations say the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. And the hosts can mean a lot of different things. It could refer to hosts as in hosts of armies, as in almost hosts of human armies. That the Lord of hosts, that the Lord of all the military strength that the world can possibly provide, this is what the Lord Almighty is, the Lord of all the hosts. Another thought would be the Lord of hosts could be heavenly bodies, that of you might say, angels, angel armies, the Lord of the angel armies, heavenly hosts. In fact, that might be what Eugene Peterson uses when he translates. A lot of times he say, Lord of the angel armies. You'll see that a lot of times. But the Lord of hosts might be the angels. It might also be that of the heavenly bodies, that of like the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? So who is the Lord Almighty? The Lord Almighty is God of all creation, God of all military might, God of all the angel armies, the Lord Almighty. Let's say it together. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And now the setting that many think to be this psalm, in which this psalm was written, was that of, the setting even within the psalm is that of a battlefield. So this is kind of a battle cry, you might say. So I need you to kind of amp it up just a little bit, okay? Because this is our battle cry as faithful followers of God. All right, I need to hear it, all right? So let's say it together. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Yes. Yes, he is. Now here's the setting that some have said and suggested that this psalm was written. Some believe that this was written by King Hezekiah. And the story you can find, I encourage you to go read it. I'm just going to try to tell it from reading it and reflecting on it a little bit. It's found in 2 Kings 18, or I think also in 2 Chronicles 32. You can find it in two different places. It's a great story. Here's how it goes. King Sennacherib That's a great name, isn't it? Sennacherib of Assyria was going around conquering nation after nation, land after land, town and village, and city after village, and town and city. In fact, Israel had fallen. And the scriptures tell us because they had not followed the ways of the Lord. And now Judah, King Hezekiah over Judah. And in fact, King Sennacherib had conquered several times towns throughout Judah. And the people were held up within Jerusalem. And the King Hezekiah fortified the city. He fortified the walls and the towers. And he built it up, right? He fortified the city. But he also fortified the people. He gathered the people together, and this is what he told the people. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And so the people gained their confidence for what King Hezekiah had told them. He gathered the people together. But then it was the messenger of King Sennacherib's turn to speak. And King Sennacherib of Syria sent a message to the people of Jerusalem. And the scene would be great. If people could make a movie out of this whole thing, I think it would be awesome, an awesome movie. The people were sitting along the wall of the city, the people of within Jerusalem. And the leaders of the people within the city, the leaders of Hezekiah, told the messenger from Sennacherib to speak to them in Aramaic because they didn't want the people sitting along the wall to hear the message, right? They wouldn't understand it if it was spoken in Aramaic. But the messenger said, "No, we're going to say it in Hebrew, because this is a message for all you people to hear." And the message was, oh, it's so good. Like, the way they insult, oh, it's like rich text. The messenger from King Sennacherib says, basically, look, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to fall just like every other town has fallen. Do you think your God is any different than all the other gods, all the other nations that called upon their gods? We conquered them. We're going to conquer you. Don't listen to King Hezekiah. Surrender now and live. That's all my translation. That's all right. That's what he says. But the people, they say nothing because King Hezekiah told them not to say anything. Smart, right? Instead, the people, they come together and they enter into the temple. And I believe it was both Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah at the time. And they gather the people together in the temple and they pray. And they pray. And I'm thinking in their hearts and their minds, if it's true this psalm was built out of this whole context, this is their prayer. And would you say it again with me? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's their prayer. What happens in the night? An angel of the Lord goes out into the camp of Assyria that's surrounding Jerusalem, and 180,000 men are put to death that night. And the people go out, and I gotta think that not only are they awakened that morning, but their hearts are awakened to just the truth of this. Now listen again to these words. I think it's fitting. It says, "Come and see." This is Psalm 46. "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." It makes sense, doesn't it? Within the setting, that context, that this that this psalm was birthed out of this, that in the first verse where it says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like the mountains are falling into the heart of the sea? Everything that was once sure, a mountain that could never possibly be moved, is tossed overboard into the seas. And you start wondering, it says, though its waters roar and foam, though the Assyrian army gathered around is roaring and foaming, threatening to undo everything that you once knew. And the mountains quake with their surging. I've never been on an earthquake, but I don't think it'd be any fun when the ground that you thought was so stable is now moving. It'd be pretty scary. It makes sense. I can see why some would suggest that this is the setting in which this psalm is written. But you know, it also makes sense for me. And I don't have an Assyrian army gathered around my house. I'll tell you, this psalm connects with me. And I'm guessing it does for you too. Because we've been there. We've been there when the mountains have been thrown into the heart of the seas. And what's sad is that it doesn't take an Assyrian army. For me, like, my internet goes down, and I'm thinking, God, you're an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I'm joking, right? But my point is, it doesn't take much for us to feel like, is everything coming crashing down around me? I'll tell you, just a few things. You know, there's missiles being pointed at our country from across the pond, you might say. It worries me a little bit. You know what else worries me is how I see society, it seems to be deteriorating to the point that what we're assassinating police officers at gunpoint? What's happening? I read an article, and it was intended in Christianity Today. It was intended to instill kind of faith yet in God, but it was talking about in the next 20 years how many robots might be taking over jobs around us. Driverless cars. I heard one person talk about how driverless cars is going to be the next greatest revolution since the internet. I don't know. Who knows? My point is, you know, we've seen great changes in the last, you know, several tens of years, hundreds of years. What are we going to see in the next? What's going to happen? Every once in a while, I think, you know, maybe I need to find one of those military bunkers over in South Dakota and get one for myself. No, wait a minute. Let's hold up. I'm not serious about that. No, even though we might feel like the sky is falling, what does God have to say in the midst of all of this? God says, be still and know that I am God. I've learned that this word for be still can be thought of as enough or hands off, or even stop. It's the kind of thing that when you were young, and maybe it was literally you saw your dad put his foot down, right? But it wasn't literal, but you just knew your dad put his foot down. Or maybe it was your mom who put her foot down. But you know where the point to where the conversation was over, right? There's no more debate. That's enough. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. You know, as a pastor, I get up and I talk a lot. And I know it probably seems like us pastors, we like to talk. We like to hear ourselves talk. Sometimes I do. But it's also true that I get tired sometimes of hearing the sound of my own voice. I do. And sometimes when I'm in prayer, I find this really is true. I go to God in prayer and I just say, Father God, and then I don't have anything to say. And I'm okay with that. I just say, Father God. And I just sit in his presence. And it's good just to be still and to know that God is God. That God is, right? That God is. I like how this psalm reminds us of what is. I love how our perspective is renewed by seeing what is real, what is true, what is right, what is good. It says that God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. We need to be reminded of that, right? God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I'm reminded of Jesus' words that he says that he will not leave us or forsake us, that surely he's with us to the very end of the age. God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. When are we orphaned? When are we alone? When are we abandoned? Never. God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. This psalm reminds us of that. It reminds us that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Doesn't that just sing to your soul? There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There's a river and there's a city and God is in her and God is not going to let her fall. It is. It was. It always will be. You know, there's a lot that can happen in this world. A lot can change. A lot can be taken away from us. But there's one thing that will remain the same. That God is in the holy city, the holy place. And that will not change. Be still and know that God is God. I've been walking more lately at night. I watch when the sun's almost going down and it gets a little bit calmer out. And I go for a walk around town, and there's been a couple nights where I've been on a walk and I've noticed the trees are completely still. It's odd, you know? Seeing a leaf that just isn't moving. I mean, it's almost always swaying in the wind. But when it's completely still, you know, that's how I feel with my soul sometimes. My spirit is like those leaves, kind of always moving. Restlessness. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel restless? Jesus offers us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus offers us rest for our souls. And we might feel like we need to scurry around like remember the story of Martha and Mary, right? Martha preparing the meal. We might feel like we got to do this, we got to do that, and we're running to and fro. But we just need to sit in the presence of Jesus, to be still, and to know that God is God. So I want to invite you just to do that for a minute here this morning. And I'm going to do the same, just for a second. Ask yourself this morning, let God inquire and probe your heart, your soul, and ask, Where are you restless? Where in your life are you not able to fall asleep at night? Where is your soul just kind of moving here and there and every which way? Where is God inviting you to just to be still? So just take a moment to listen to what the Spirit's saying to you right now. I encourage you to continue that stillness, maybe later today. I want to share just one little story with you to wrap up. I heard a great teaching on the story of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son this past week. And you know the story, the younger son takes the inheritance of the father, runs off, squanders all the money in wild living. He comes back, and the father invites him in. They throw a party, they kill the fattened calf for him. And all the while, the older son is there with the father the whole time. And he comes in and he sees the party the father has thrown for the younger son. And the older son says to his father, he says, "All these years I've been slaving for you and I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so that I could even celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." The older son, I just identified with this. The older son says, I've been doing all these things. And then the father says to the older son, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." And he goes on to describe why they had to celebrate for the younger son. But that phrase just really captured my heart. "My son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours." I often run around trying to earn God's favor. I scurry around trying to do this and that and trying to measure up. But God just says, "You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Be still and know that I am God." Just be still. Jesus has already taken care of all of it. This is the good news, right? Be still. It's already finished, Jesus said. He's done it all for you already. Be still and know that God is God. Praise his name. Let's pray together. Jesus, you are the one who is and who was and who is to come. Your kingdom will never pass away. Nothing will ever be able to rise up against you, Jesus, for you died and you rose again. You defeated death itself. Yours is the victory, Lord Jesus. Teach us, Holy Spirit, to rest in you. May we be still and know that you are God. We lift up those who are especially feeling as though the earth is giving way beneath them. And we pray, Lord, for them. We pray that you would give them that peace that surpasses all understanding. We lift up to Tori in the week to come for the operation that she'll be having. We pray for those that are in our rest homes. Especially I want to pray and I want to lift up Sadie Vanderwall and her family to you and pray, Lord, that you be near them. Lord, we pray for those who have needs, those that the needs they haven't been voiced, Lord, but you know them. Help us to be still and to rest and to trust in you for whatever it is we stand in need of. And Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. I thank you for answering the prayers for my mother this past week and for the many prayers that have been answered that we have brought up before you, that you've given each one of us. We have much to give thanks for and much to share with those in need. And so help us to do that joyfully today. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless this offering to your work, to your kingdom, Jesus, your kingdom that can never spoil or fade. And also, Lord, bless the work of Bible League as they are faithful to you and the work that you've called them to. Lord, we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now we'll receive the morning offering and then followed by that a special offering in support of the Bible League. Thank you. We're going to sing number 585, Be Still and Know. I mistyped that. We're going to sing verses 1 through 4. Okay, 1 through 4, and then we'll sing verse 5 after the benediction. 585. I know I want this for myself, and I want it for you all, too, just to know, not only know the peace that surpasses all understanding, but to kind of like be planted firmly in it and to experience that, to rest in the rest that's found in God, to have your feet firmly planted on that rock, know that nothing will ever shake you or move you. I pray that for all of us, to be still, to know that God is God. That doesn't mean we won't experience troubles. It means whatever comes, God is God. Go in that knowledge and in that peace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.